Grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I've mentioned the last few weeks, the word Advent actually means coming. And in the season of Advent, the church looks forward to the coming of our Lord. And yet, if we are totally honest, knowing that any authority figure is coming has the potential to incite one of either two reactions, fear or joy. Let me give you a few examples. When you're a child and you hear the garage door going up, you have a very different reaction if mom says, "Hey, Dad's home," compared with, "Just you wait, Dad's now home." If your boss tells you that he would like to see you in his office right before quitting time on a Friday, your reaction will depend on whether you're expecting a promotion or the company has begun a round of layoffs. When you see flashing red and blue lights on the highway behind you, how you react depends on whether they think you need help slowing down or help getting out of the ditch. The Lord is coming. Is our natural reaction fear or joy? If we could travel back to the time of Zephaniah, we would run into an entire nation who had every reason to fear the Lord's coming. After God had given Israel the promised land, he warned them repeatedly that if they turned away from him, that he would uproot them from the land and turn them into the laughingstock of the entire world. Well, we all know what happens. Judah failed to listen and failed to obey and had turned from the true God to false God, idols like Baal, whose worship practices included religious prostitution and child sacrifice. They scoffed at the prophets that God sent to warn them to change their wicked ways, and they proudly boasted that God would not do anything to them, either good or bad. And like hard-hearted atheists, they made their wealth, their real estate, and their businesses into their gods. And so for two-thirds of his book, the only message that Zephaniah has is one of judgment. But in the closing section of his book, the prophet Zephaniah's message takes a very unexpected turn. To the few faithful believers, those who took the Lord's warning seriously and repented of their sins, the Lord offers a message of pure joy. Joy instead of judgment. That is the gist of what Zephaniah has to tell us today. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O Israel! Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now that has to sound familiar. It sounds so much like the holly jolly music that we hear on the radio these days, right? Do you see the problem, though? Those four verbs, sing aloud, shout, rejoice, and exult, are all commands. Why on earth would God have to command us to rejoice during the most wonderful time of the year? Why do morning shows and health professionals have to issue suggestions for dealing with holiday-related stress and depression? Why has it become truly trendy to skip Christmas altogether and take a vacation to some warm area instead? There are several reasons. For one, God has written his law on our hearts and put a conscience in our heads that reminds us every time we do something that we just don't measure up. We know that we rightly deserve judgment, not joy from God. Secondly, we often search for joy in all the wrong places. More than any other time of the year, hidden idols are exposed. Alcohol and excess, decorations and gifts, vacations and family and friends. And while all these things are gifts from God, they are not God. If we seek happiness and joy from anyone or anything other than God, we are in fact worshiping an idol. And when they take the place of the giver, they do not bring true joy. If you doubt that, just wait for December the 26th and see the trees lining the curb, the return lines in the stores, the grumpy hungover people at work. Listen for the complaints about the family and the friends that everybody dealt with over the hallway. And notice how many people dig themselves into debt just for a day or two of holiday cheer. If you've been looking for joy in gifts rather than the giver, then the command to rejoice is the first command to repent. To turn your heart away from artificial sources of joy and turn to God. Lastly, there's a little part of each of us, whether we want to admit it or not, that thinks the good news of Christmas is just too good to be true. We are constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop or for the lawyer to read the fine print. To find out that there are more strings attached because nothing in this world is free. By nature, we simply just cannot grasp that forgiveness and peace and joy are free, unconditional gifts from God to each one of us. No matter how many times we've heard the angels' announcement that today in the city of David, or the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, we still think in the back of our minds, no way, that's too good to be true. And do you know what all three of these reasons have in common? They crush our joy. Because they place our focus on us and our earthly situation instead of where our focus should be at Christmas, on the Lord and what He has done for us. That is why it is so important that we make the Lord the center of our Christmas celebration. Because when our joy is in the Lord, then it won't matter if our home looks like something out of a Hallmark movie. If we have the best and shiniest gifts, if there's an empty place at our table or in our hearts, if failing health or financial stress or family conflict has cast a shadow over the celebration. No matter what, we would be filled with joy regardless of our outward circumstances. Why? Because the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again do you fear any harm. Let me be blunt. The best the world can offer is a brief reprieve from reality. A momentary illusion that life is not short or hard or painful. But the Lord confronts reality head on and sweeps the ugliness away forever, starting with the reality of the punishment that each and every one of us deserve. Make no mistake about it, you have earned God's judgment. But the Lord has taken it away. Not arbitrarily, not like a police officer who says, well, it's Christmas time, I'll let you off with a warning. No, God redirected your punishment to His Son. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God will never punish you for your sins because he punished Jesus in your place. And if that's not reason to rejoice, then there is never a reason to rejoice. And while our joy centers on what God has done for us, listen to where the Lord finds his joy. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." You see, our joy is in what the Lord has done for us. And the Lord's joy is in us. Isn't that amazing? Again, Zephaniah speaks to the sinful tendency we have. Our tendency to be afraid to come to God's presence, whether it be on the day of his glory or even here in worship. We know that God is present. We even begin our worship every time by invoking his name. But don't we often feel like Isaiah? "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." If we tell the truth, that fear is paralyzing. Not only does it rob us of our joy, not only does it hinder our energy and enthusiasm in carrying out the work that God has given us, but sometimes it even keeps us from worshiping or praying or studying Scripture altogether. Certainly, when the Lord comes in judgment, he will burn up unbelievers with the unquenchable fire of hell. But that's not why he comes to us now. Just as Jesus did not come on Christmas to bring judgment, but to bring salvation, so he comes to us here and now, not to scold us for our sins, but to take them away. When we are here, we're not the only ones singing. God is singing over us. The Bible says that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. God rejoices in our repentance just because he is not like us, who often only grudgingly gives out forgiveness. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but they turn from their way and live. Nowhere is God's joy more evident than in the sacraments. In baptism, he takes a helpless little sinner, and instead of casting them away as they deserve, he washes their sins away and makes them his child. In Holy Communion, the Lord invites the weary, the downtrodden, the desperate, the despairing, sinners like you and me, to come to his table to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of salvation. And therefore, I tell you, don't walk up here filled with shame or guilt as if God is hovering with his arms crossed and saying, "You again? You need my forgiveness again?" No, come up here with joy, because nothing gives the Lord greater joy than forgiving your sins. Let's close with Zephaniah's beautiful description of Christmas. He will quiet you by his love. Isn't that an amazing picture? Especially when the stress and expectations and busyness and commercialization of these days threaten to kill your joy. It's amazing because it's so relatable. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night screaming, what does the parent do? Do they scream back and say, "Shut up, I'm trying to sleep here"? Or do they issue that baby a threat and say, "If you don't stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about"? No, a parent will take that baby up in their arms and gently rock them and sing to them and speak to them and assure them of their love. That's what God does for us on Christmas. He comes as a tiny baby to take away our fear, to quiet our anxious hearts, to assure us of his tender love. God's attitude toward us is kind of like a grandparent at Christmas. You love your children and your grandchildren dearly. In spite of all that they've done, in spite of their failings and the times that they've forgotten about you, you still want to heal their wounds and dry their tears and calm their fears. You want to give them joy and peace, the very best that you can offer. And even though you may not always be able to, God in Christ always does. Nothing gives him greater joy than seeing his children joyfully receiving the gifts that he so freely offers. And just like the gifts of hope and peace that Jesus brings to us this Advent season, the gift of joy is unexpected. It's only natural. When we hear that he is coming, we tend to be fearful because we know deep down in our hearts that we deserve judgment. Today, through Zephaniah, the Lord has taken away our fear with the promise that he comes to give us joy instead of judgment. And this is not like the artificial worldly joy that's long gone by December the 26th. The joy that we have in the Lord, the joy he has in us, lasts into eternity. If that doesn't bring you joy this Christmas, then truly nothing can. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.